direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
James Show, and you'll know over the years we've had Al Cuffett on several times, and it's always a mind-blowing show. And to those of you who know what's going on, when you take a look at Al's materials and you hear about what he has known over the years, and we're going back well over a decade that he's been actively telling you what's going on and before, there are the naysayers. There are the people who will say, oh, well, this is just a nut. Now, never mind his military career and his role on the Joint Chiefs of Staff and things of this nature. He's just crazy, don't you know? And then there are individuals who will have somehow stumbled across the original report in the Miami Herald in the 80s talking about Rex 84 and what that meant. And that's just blown out of proportion. That's not really what's going on here. Well, any doubts that you may have had, and there's a number of people who have had them, should have been put to rest recently when you took a look at H.R. 645. That's right. All of the words of a nut are suddenly being codified by Congress. Yeah, we're talking about the concentration camps and a lot more. You go to alcuppett.com, alcuppett.com. And take a look at what's on the site. There's a mind-blowing video, 51 seconds, that will turn your head. There's a book that's available, America Sold Out, and a video, I Am versus New World Order. Plenty of things to look at, and we have plenty of things to discuss in moments right here.
The Raleigh James Show.
All righty, but before we do, let me mention the Sea Crane Company a moment, because there are so many things that we talk about, and you know, so often we hear, well, why don't I hear this anywhere else? And of course, it's all online. You can find it online. You can find it at Al's site and several other places as well. But the bottom line is, if you're looking for an information source that's reliable and isn't the stuff you're hearing on major media and the talking heads, like I say, it's all online, but who's going to sit in front of their computer all day? Or who's going to try to listen to those tinny speakers on your laptop? So that's why I'm so high on Wi-Fi radio. Wi-Fi radio works just like any other AM or FM radio. You dial it in, you tune in stations, 16,000 of them and more. The difference is, instead of over-the-air stations, what you're getting is every stream that's online. That's pretty phenomenal. So what do you have to have? Well, there is something. You've got to have a broadband connection to the Internet. That's the necessary component. But if you've got that, you can use a Wi-Fi radio, and your computer doesn't even have to be on. They are terrific. There's many to choose from. The one that I highly recommend is the CC Wi-Fi. Bob Crane has really outdone himself with this, because not only is it so highly sensitive that it's going to pick up your wireless access point if you've got one, no matter where you are, even the most sluggish come in with the CC Wi-Fi. You can also use an Ethernet cable if you want to directly connect it that way. It's lightweight. It's portable. It's terrific. You can use it with headphones. You can have an audio out, so if you want to use it, record things maybe off your CC witness, you can record your favorite shows. But whether you're looking for things such as, well, let me tell you, Alex Jones 24 hours a day, yeah, Jeff Renz 24 hours a day, any conspiracy, the Power Hour, my show, that's all there. Or maybe it's just your favorite radio station from back in the day, or maybe you have another favorite syndicated show that's not on where you are. Betcha it's online. And, you know, when all All Else Fails, Get Some Entertainment, and your favorite obscure oldies. There's streams of every kind of music you can imagine all over the world. Nice thing about this is it's also laid out by genre and location, so easy to find. You can be web surfing all day and not find what you can quickly find on a Wi-Fi radio. In addition to that, with the CC Wi-Fi, if for some reason there's the 16,000 and first stream that's not on the radio for some reason, well, you just go to the website, you ask for it to be added to your radio, and it's there within 24 hours. Not bad. CCRadio.com. You look at Wi-Fi radio. That's CCRadio.com. And, of course, you remember to tell them Raleigh sent you. If you want to call for some reason, well, tell you what, they will be back tomorrow whenever you get up, and that's 800-522-8863, 522-T-U-N-E. You remember to tell them Raleigh sent you. All right, before we get to Al, I always say if you're listening, most likely you are driving professionally, and God knows what interstate you're on, and any time we can tell you what's going on at any of them, we do. And Bill in Georgia has an alert about I-85. What you got for me, Bill?
Good evening, Raleigh. I-85 southbound, exit 51, shut down. Truck rollover with fire and fatalities.
Oh, I hate to hear that. Easy workaround. Do you know of any?
No. We're right in between the exit ramp, so we're stuck on the interstate.
You are stuck. Any word about when it will reopen?
I've heard 4 to 6 hours. I've heard as much as 8 in the morning.
And you'll be sitting there until then.
Yes, ma'am.
I am so sorry to hear that, and also just really horrified to hear about the loss of life. That's always chilling. You stay safe, and thank you for the information.
You're welcome, Raleigh.
Appreciate
Have a good night.
You too. Thanks. All right. So I-85, exit 51, and you know about where that is, I think. So if not, well, ask. But I'd say that is obviously south of Atlanta on 85. And if you can get off at exit 56, you can go over to U.S. 29 through Noonan and then get back on at exit 41. So that's a possibility. All right. Al Cuppett, welcome to the Raleigh James Show. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, hi, Raleigh. Let me salute the fantail of a good ship, Raleigh James Show, and come aboard on a quarterdeck.
Well, thanks. Well, Al, you know, we've been talking for years, and I know there's some people who are never going to believe it until they hear it on major media. And, boy, when H.R. 645 came out, my blood just curled. You must have had the same reaction.
Yeah, you know, the problem with this whole deal is that they do these things for quite a while, years sometimes, and then all of a sudden they come out with the thing that makes it, quote, legal, unquote.
Right. Right.
They do that every time.
And, of course, we had talked the last time we were on about the DHS contract, which is now several years old, when they gave $385 million to KBR, Halliburton's engineering subsidiary, to build the temporary detention centers. And even then, people were saying, well, that's not really that. So you first started talking about, yeah, I know. You first started talking about this when?
Well, I tell you what, I saw my first detention center in 1994.
Mm-hmm.
I saw some at Camp Butner, North Carolina. I saw some at New Kent County, the Henrico Regional Jail East is in New Kent County, 80 miles away from Henrico County,
mm-hmm.
conveniently.
Which is Richmond
also,
for people who don't know.
That's right, right. And then the Camp Butner down in North Carolina, just off 85, you just mentioned there, at Butner, North Carolina. And, of course, you don't understand, folks, that any time you have a fence with tops on it, you can have an immediately built detention center. It doesn't make any difference what the name is. It might say Federal Correction Institute, FCI. It may say Western Correctional Institute. It may say Henrico County Regional Jail East. But it might say nothing, but it's still, if it's a fence, it's a potential detention center, because even if it has a fence around it, all it takes is one truck around the inside with concertina wire and one truck around the outside with the razor wire, and you've got a ready-made detention center.
Right.
So these things are here, folks, I'm telling you, and I've been to them. I've been to the empty ones where the deputies are sitting there. Two deputies are sitting there with six trustees watching the place. Nothing's going on except the places are empty. So these things are here. They are here. And Wackenhut built them for Clinton, and Halliburton is building them for Bush.
Right.
Different outfits building for different regimes.
But they're absolutely there, and while it could be argued what they're used for, when you start to take a look at the entire package, it becomes very evident. We know they're there, and like I say, anybody who wants to look at the Federal Register can see the money set
right.
aside to build them. Then, of course, we can look at the directives, such as the one President Bush signed in 2007 that gives him the sole authority to declare, or any president who's sitting in the White House, the sole authority to declare an emergency takeover without even consulting
right.
Congress. And then we have Alcee Hastings, like I say, more recently, and I guess I shouldn't be shocked, but, you know, Al, I'm always shocked when it becomes overly blatant. We know it's there, but we also know that the timetable stepped up when they're willing to admit to it. So here we have H.R. 645, and the first thing I do is I say, okay, who is Alcee Hastings? And I find out that he's the only guy who was a, not the only, but one of the very few, I think there were only six, a federal judge, he was a lawyer and a judge, federal judge, to be impeached and removed from office, only the sixth in American history, a move from office for corruption and perjury. And it is now Alcee Hastings, Democrat out of Florida, who has put forth H.R. 645 to codify this.
My. Well, you were talking about people not wanting to believe until they see it or in the papers or hear it on the media. We had an incident happen here. Now, I've been telling people about the black helicopters and the bases they're operating out of since 1994 when I went and complained to the FBI about four of these babies thundering over my house at 50 feet. Now, I'm a pilot. I'm a licensed pilot, and these guys had no business thundering over my house. And I went and complained to the FBI. And about a year later, the sheriff over in Orange County, he got on the radio on a show like this. In fact, he was on Jack McLam's retired police show. And McLam had him on there for about an hour or more. And about 2 weeks later, the chopper intercepted him on the way to a meeting in front of Waugh's motorcycle shop on Highway 20 in Orange, Virginia. And little thing transpired there. The chopper went around him three times with the gun locked on him and shook the house where the kids were and then flew off to the FEMA base called Peters Mountain. They saw it land with a pair of binoculars that day. It was CAVU conditions, clear and visibility unlimited. And we determined then that the FEMA bases were in cahoots because he was getting in, he had an intimidation flight. And I've got that all written up on a letter I wrote to the state police commander. And on that, when that happened on the 14th of February 1995, I wrote the state police commander and attorney general, who later became the governor. And what happened then, of course, was he called the FBI and said he wanted to know what the chopper was doing flying around his old state trooper buddy, the sheriff. And I got a phone call from Agent Tom Carter of Fredericksburg, special FBI agent. And he said, do you know about the helicopters? I said, yeah, I was on the Joint Chiefs of Staff above top secret for 6 years, and I figured out and know all about it. He says, good, I will get you an appointment. I'm going to talk to you about it. Well, guess what? He never called back.
Mm-hmm.
The reason he didn't call back was that the chain of command higher up found out that he was investigating that black helicopter. This was in the Clinton administration, and somebody called him up and said, you put that in your in basket and forget about it. Don't you try to investigate that black helicopter. And this is how it works, and I can show you the progression. But I've been telling these people down here, and I've made seven videos and helped write the book, and I've been in 116 cities, 32 states, and six countries with a lecture which goes from 2 to 17 hours with 130 slides. And I've been telling everybody that'll listen. And I've been telling this county about things here and there. I've been telling people, and I've been telling the sheriff. And I'm saying, keep telling them, look, I mean, I was served in the Pentagon, and I found some things out that you guys have no clue exist. Well, at 8:35 on the night of the 5th of February, I got a phone call from the sheriff. Says, Al, we got a chopper up here over Oak Park flying around, and we're trying to get a hold of Quantico, the Marine base, because we can't find out who it belongs to. And he said, there's gunfire going on and shooting going on, and he's shooting off star shells. We want to know, can you help us? And I said, sure. I said, let me grab my phone book. And I called the National Military Command Center in the Pentagon, and that's the top command center of the United States military. And I used to have escort privileges in that place. I could escort people into there, into that place. And I got a hold of duty officer, and I said, we got a chopper down here flying around, and the sheriff wants to know what's going on. And I said, I need to talk to somebody, if not the Army Ops, Air Force Ops. He said, I'll give you Army Ops. So I got a hold of a lieutenant colonel up there, and I said, the dispatcher here needs to talk to you about this chopper down here. He said, okay. Then I called the Air Force Operations Center in the Pentagon, and then I called the Langley Air Force Base, which is Air Combat Command, and I told them about it. They said, well, it's not ours. I said, I know it's not your guys, but I just want the people down here in this county to know that it's not any of the military's choppers. These are not U.S.-controlled assets. And so the next morning, I went up to have a conference with the folks to see what's going on. And I took a few pictures along, and I'll explain some of that in a moment. We sat down up there, and I said, look, now this is, I told you guys that these things were around. They're on the highways, these regional police cars, and 25 different other brands of cops they've called these people and hired them from overseas under Clinton's executive order 12919. So they're out there operating, and the choppers are operating. Had them over at my house. One chased a sheriff down in Orange County in 10 years ago. And I said, this is what's going on. And then I showed them a picture of the shackles on the runway with a 727 sitting there with black uniform guards. I said, here they are. You see these shackles? Yeah. Well, they haven't put two and two together. What's that black helicopter got to do with these shackles on the runway? Let me tell you what that is. That chopper can pick you up and fly you to the airport and put you on one of them planes with the shackles on the runway and tie you up in a plane. And I showed them told them about Ron Brown going, getting shot, getting his plane go down, and they couldn't understand, well, what's that guy doing? I said, Ron Brown could have brought the Clinton administration down with his knowledge,
yeah.
And Ron Brown had to be silenced, and because the Clinton administration was shipping these troops and these choppers into the country during this period of time. So I said, what happened here? He said, well, we went over there, and there was gunfire, apparently from the ground up and the chopper down. And this chopper, Al, it said, sometimes you could hear it and sometimes you couldn't. You could see it, but you couldn't hear it, but then you could hear it. I said, well, what happened is they've got noise canceling on them, and the pilot can't tell if the noise canceling is working except by looking at a light on his console. The thing was intermittent, and it was going on and off, you know, bada-bada-bada, bada-bada-bada-bada-bada, and the guy didn't know it. And evidently the guy he was stalking on the ground heard him coming, and they had a gunfight ensued. We haven't discovered yet exactly what happened at the end of that, but what was going on, yes, where are they flying from? I said, well, they got bases. I said, one, they can fly from Peters Mountain over below in Albemarle County, or they'll come out of Quantico. Now, I said, there's Camp Upshur on Quantico, Camp Barrett, and there used to be an old Camp Getchy. But Camp Getchy is not around anymore. No one knows what happened to it. But I said, it's in an off-limits area. You can't go there anymore. And I was talking, I went to a gun show to pass out flyers one day some years ago, and this Marine E6 was there, staff NCO, and he said, I work with the hotshot team. We're on the Marine Corps Air Station at Quantico, and we shut down, let's say, 11 o'clock. We wait for 1 hour for any transient aircraft coming in, and then we go home. He said, but after we shut down and there's nobody flying, we hear planes flying, or we hear choppers flying out of the back of the base. We can hear them back there. I said, yeah, they're coming out of old Camp Getchy. That's where they are. And I've got a Marine officer, a friend of mine, who was the range officer over there for 3 years, and we know exactly where they're flying from. And he said, they're not FBI choppers. They're not Marine choppers. We don't know who they are. Well, that's what's going on. And I can tell you now, the base commander at Quantico knows those choppers are operating. He's been told by Homeland Security or somewhere, look, this is a terrorist operation. We've got some terrorist police over there working, and you just don't worry about it. And that's the story they tell our people. But in the meantime, the terrorists are folks like you and me and talk show hosts and and outspoken, maybe once in a while, a decent outspoken pastor who's got some sense as to what's going on. And the other type, the Steve Quayles and the Alex Joneses, we're the ones who are going to be the terrorists or anybody who owns a gun. And so that was the story. Well, what happened, I had called in 95, I had called Colonel Hinkle in the Pentagon at the Army Aviation Directorate, and I said, listen, we had a chopper buzz the sheriff over here. And he said, well, what was the registration number? I said, didn't have one. Law enforcement people always look for registration numbers.
Right.
And sure enough, there wasn't one on it. He said, well, it wasn't ours. I said, well, it went up like a pinwheel around him, you know, with a gun on him, went around a pinwheel. He said, we don't practice that maneuver. He said, I'm a qualified Cobra pilot. He said, we don't practice that maneuver. It's not in U.S. rotary doctrine tactics. So this was a foreign tactic.
Right.
Now, folks, you can replicate this 1,000 times across the United States. This is just one who came to town in Virginia. And believe me, the whole county got a wake-up call because one of the houses over there, the housing inspector's son, it hovered over his house for about 4 minutes at about 50 feet.
And
got a boat of shingles off.
This is 1995.
No, this was just, none of this. This and this now, the one that happened just here. Hinkle was 95, right.
And now,
when the one came down here, it was the 5th of February.
Of 2009, right. Yeah,
2009,
I wanted to make
right.
that connection. So we're 14 years later. We're through now three different administrations, and obviously
right.
it doesn't matter who's in the White House. Hang on a moment,
that's
Al.
Right.
Al Cuppet, that's the important part of this. Don't start thinking that it's Obama or it's Clinton or it's Bush, because it's a level above that. AlCuppet.com, AlCuppett.com. We will get to those famous red lists and blue lists, which we've been talking about, wow, for years now. See if there's an update on that. Also, fascinating 51-second video on Al's site, AlCuppett.com. We'll talk about that as well, because clearly everybody now, with everything that's going on, is waiting for the next shoe to drop. But what will it be? We'll find out what Al thinks and more coming up. And don't forget, at AlCuppett.com, America Sold Out is the book. The video is I Am Versus the New World Order. And there's a lot of information that's absolutely free that you need to read if you haven't already.
It's the Raleigh James Show.
How do you do what you do to me? I wish I knew. If I knew how you do it to me, I'd do it to you.
If you're starting to think there's more behind our government than what you're being told, you're in the right place. The Raleigh James Show.
Okay, so we had a call from someone who said, this is just BS, I'm a helicopter pilot, there are no silent helicopters, and John simply said, you've never heard of noise-canceling technology. Don't go with what you think you know when you listen to what we're talking about with Al Cuppet, or really anybody else when we talk about what's going on currently. Noise cancellation absolutely does exist. The extent of the technology may be unknown to you and me, but the theory behind it is very, very well known. Just imagine a positive sound and a negative sound created at virtually the same time. The two sounds cannot, they cancel themselves. They cannot exist, coexist, I should say. So they cancel themselves, and the result is silence. Now, if you think for a moment, and by the way, it relies on microphones and processors and amplifiers and all that, and we won't go into that, but don't say, well, I haven't heard of that, so this isn't right. remember many of the things that Al Cuppet was talking about 14, 15 years ago publicly. People were saying, I never heard of that. And now you've got H.R. 645 that are codifying those very concentration camps. So, yes, we will talk about the red and blue lists. And, yes, we will talk about, is it an exponentially large step now with the Obama administration? And, again, talking more about timing than person. But let me say I kind of gave you some wrong information here about I-85. Apparently, the problem is at exit 56. So you're going to want to get off before that and head over to US 29. Now, Noonan is not truck friendly. All right, that may be the understatement of the year. So when you get toward Noonan, you're going to see a sign for truck route. Make sure that you take it. All right, that's the best info I can give you there. And at this point, since they think that the interstate will be closed, I-85 southwest of Atlanta until morning, they probably are already rooting you off there. Good luck. If you are not yet on that side of Atlanta, you may want to look at other workarounds entirely.
The Raleigh James Show.
All right, so I'll mention OIDA for a moment and say if you are a commercial driver, I don't care whether you're a company driver or an independent owner-operator, if you drive for a living, well, you know that the deck is stacked against you, particularly when it comes to the government, whether it's regulations through the DOT or legislation through Congress. The driver is usually an afterthought, if at all. Actually, the only time they're thought of is because OIDA, the only organization that lobbies exclusively for you, is there fighting for your rights and pleading your case. But there's a very big difference between being in an advisory role, and OIDA does an amazing job at that, and having to have a seat at the table. And the only way to get to that mandatory place where Congress and bureaucrats have to consider your position is with enough members in an organization that you can't be ignored. It's a numbers game, and that's how you get the clout. And OIDA, like I say, is your only option. They're the only voice that lobbies exclusively for the rights of drivers. Doesn't matter whether you're an independent owner-operator or a company driver. Doesn't matter if you're local or over the road. You're using a CDL. OIDA is there for you. And the only way to make them stronger is so they can go say, we represent a million drivers. And see, that's my goal. And I don't think it's ridiculous because there's probably 4 million drivers on the road. Now, right now, OIDA has about 160,000 members. You get that up to a million, you got a seat at the table. Life as you know it changes. Now, the bad news is the only way to get there is one driver at a time. The good news is it only costs you $25 for your first year dues if you say you heard it on the Raleigh James Show. There's nobody who can't afford it. Please do it. You can do the whole thing online at OOIDA.com. OOIDA.com. Or you can do it right now by phone. Leave a message. 800-444-5791. That's 800-444-5791. You say Raleigh James, you pay $25. It's as easy as that. Please join OIDA. It will make a difference. All right, 85 now northbound and southbound closed. So you got the idea. The incident at exit 56. So you want to exit before that, whether you're heading southbound or northbound. You get the idea. All right. But if you're going through Noonan, truck route, remember the truck route. All right. Al Cuppet. So, Al, I'm sure that most people want the status quo and they don't want to believe what you're saying, but frankly, everything you said has just about become public knowledge, except when it comes to public knowledge, we still don't hear about those red and blue lists. So do you have an update on that?
Let me say one thing here before we go into that. I've got a letter. Now, after this incident happened, I wrote a military staff letter to the Pentagon.
Yeah.
And this letter is available for you folks. I've got the attachments of what happened over in Orange. I've got a 3-page letter. This thing stands by itself. It's got my credentials. It's got what happened exactly. I'll send it to you for, if you just send a stamped addressed envelope. And if you want to contact me and check anything you need to know about the site or whatever, you need to write me. I go by mail, which is box 111. Wolftown, Virginia, 22748. Box 111, Wolftown, Virginia, 22748. And right here, I'm going to read the last two paragraphs of this letter, so because Raleigh was talking about it. My last two paragraphs state the following. Moreover, in-depth investigations as well as observed and circumstantial evidence over the past 15 years reveal that these aircraft are also employing radar spoofing transponders, which can spoof CONUS and FAA surveillance and acquisition radar. Professional experience in deduction and piloting Experience reveals that these aircraft cannot, however, spoof U.S. or NATO AWACS, which is the Airborne Warning and Control System platforms. To make it more interesting, this proliferation of choppers, as well as hundreds of other fixed-wing aircraft, are operating within the continental United States under the auspices of the Treaty on Open Skies. We can thank several administrations, like Raleigh was saying, makes no difference which one, as well as previous secretaries of state and FEMA or DHS directors for this counter-sovereignty policy. The new administration can be expected to continue this TOS initiative to include these black operations against American citizens. And if you want a copy of that letter, you write me, and it stands alone. I've got the attachments of what happened to the sheriff and what happened when the FBI agent called me. It's a standalone letter. You can get it, and I'll send it to you, and you can copy it to your friends. And this is exactly what happened. And you want to talk about red and blue lists, right?
Yes, I do, because, of course, that's the most shocking thing. The idea of martial law is declared within 6 weeks. Everybody on the blue list is picked up. The red list, they're already picked up. And
they can already pick you up. That's right.
Right. And they could do that right now, basically.
Absolutely. And that fellow was in that. Now, the guy over there, whatever this chopper was doing, I don't know his status, but that chopper, now, folks, I'm going to tell you, I talked to my doctor, and I've been telling her about these things. I told her, I said, now, that's chopper, and she read the whole letter. I said, that chopper could land over there in that post office parking lot, and then five guys come out of there in their black uniforms. They could come in this office and take you and me and whoever else in here. That Black Hawk will hold 13 troops, okay?
Yeah.
They can take us out of here within 4 minutes. They could have us in here and out of here. That chopper could take off, get federal ID cards, and they got guns. They could fly out of here. We would never, ever be seen again. We would be not heard from again. No one would know who they took us, and the police could not stop them because they're armed and they have black uniforms and they have federal ID cards, and the police won't touch them. And I said that back as far as 1998. I said, they're going to land and pick you up and fly you out. And that chopper that came down here, his noise canceling was going intermittent. He could have snuck up on that guy and landed in his backyard. Now, the dogs can hear him. The dogs can hear the choppers. They can hear him. A dog can hear the chopper, but a human can't. And I had one go over, and the only reason I knew it was coming over because I could feel the downdraft vibrating the roof. And as soon as I ran outside, there he went. There was a turbine. So these pilots, ladies and gentlemen, they have their complete infrastructure, and they've got Palm pilots that are real time, and they've got the red and blue list on those Palm pilots. And they go by Social Security number. What, you never, ever give out your Social Security number. So you're going to find these guys. They have accents. If you're a linguist, you can spot them immediately. I speak five languages, and I can spot them immediately. But they have the red and blue list on computers, and we know far back as 96, there were 6.2 million Americans on the red and blue list. In 1996, we're talking 13 years later. You can only imagine how many is on that list and on those lists now.
Have you been trying to get copies of these lists, updated copies?
No, you can't get them. The only one we ever saw was in 96 when the FBI agent was handed the list, and he saw his name on it, and it had been intercepted by a CIA agent. And these foreigners operating in our countries, I'm a communications command and control communications inspector, okay, for the Pentagon, and did it for my career. And they can intercept these communiques because these people in our country have to use the commercial communication systems, and they're subject to intercept by the good guys. And there's a lot of good guys still up there, okay? And they copied this list and then started seeing names on it, and sure enough, the names are there, and we know that later on we found out that there were 6.2 million names. The one we were privy to was the regional blue list for Region 3, Region 3 blue list. And that's the one that the FBI agent and my buddy Steve got to see.
All right. Now, obviously, there's many people rightfully very concerned about what's been happening in the last 6 months alone, because it's almost like things have gone into warp drive. You even on your site have Obama's plans for the military, and now just yesterday the House passed the mandatory volunteer service, kind of an oxymoron. What do you know as far as where we're going and when right now?
I want to tell you something. today, I wasn't in the house, but I had a phone call from a lieutenant colonel retired. He said, Al, we now have today intelligence reports. The Soviets have mobilized hundreds of thousands of troops. He said they've got 350 ships that are sailing towards Europe and the Mediterranean, and they're setting this thing up as we speak. And I got a friend of mine, and if you guys read the website, you're going to read about a fellow named Bob.
Mm-hmm.
And I called him today, and he didn't know anything about this. He's recovering from an operation. He's been laid up for a couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And he said to me, he said, I was praying last night, and he said, I saw the Soviets, and this colonel used the word armada of 350 ships. And he said, there is an armada of ships the Russians are fielding. And he said, they're going to put a line on the west coast of Europe, and they're going to put a line on the east coast of the Mediterranean off of Israel. He said, they're going to stop anybody from going over there when this operation starts. And we now have this thing shaping up, and the two things confirm each other. Now, Bob didn't know anything about the colonel, and the colonel doesn't know anything about Bob. And both of them have been dead on the money for the past 15, 11, or 12 years that I've known them. That both of them have never been wrong about these things. And we have some horrendous things about to happen. And, folks, I'm going to tell you, David Wilkerson's a prophet of God up in New York, and he's warned us, and I have said for years, he said just last week, everybody should get themselves a 30-day supply of food, and this is the church that's asleep. He finally popped up and told these people, and these churches all respect this guy. This is the first time he's ever said anything that they took seriously, a lot of them. I mean, a lot of us in the fringes out here, we listen to him quite regularly, but the mainstream churches, they're too busy playing games, Raleigh. And they jumped up at this thing, and they said, oh, my goodness. So I'm going to tell you, folks, you need to stack and get 30 days food out there and food and water, because when this thing goes down, if you're in an urban area, it's going to be chaos. It's going to really be bad. And who knows what's going to happen completely, but it's going to be bad. And I've known that for years.
When do you expect it'll go down?
I'm worrying in the next few months. I'm certain it's going to happen, because it just – Kim Il-sung over there is a demoniac. He's his son, Kim Jong. His son is Kim Jong Il.
Right.
He wants to take over, and he's going to want to make a statement so the military will follow him. And it appears that he may launch a rocket, and we may shoot the thing down, and we're going to get China involved, and this thing is going to be big time. We're heading for Armageddon, folks, and be watching, because this is serious business. And one thing I'd like to say about food storage, okay, Raleigh?
Mm-hmm.
I found some things out over the years the hard way, but I found something out. I put a case of Campbell's chicken noodle soup away 16 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and it was down in a cool basement. And I went down there and pulled a can out, and I checked it out. That stuff is as good as the day I got it.
Okay.
It really is, and if you mix it with rice, It'll keep, and you don't want to do tomato store. Anything tomato-based will eat through the can.
Okay.
And any kind of flour or wheat or grain or macaroni or noodles or pasta, if you get any of that stuff in the store, you've got to freeze it in your freezer, freeze it for 2 or 3 days, and then that kills the weevil eggs. You've
right.
got to kill the weevil eggs, and the right. easiest way to do that is to freeze it in the freezer. And you kill the weevil eggs and then wrap it up and put it up where a mouse can't get it, and that stuff will keep.
Okay.
But there's other ways to sterilize bay leaves, and you can put carbon dioxide. It's a little more complex. But you put it in your freezer and store the stuff in a Rubbermaid, put it in a plastic bag in a Rubbermaid. After you've frozen it, put it in a Rubbermaid container, a Rubbermaid trash can with construction-grade bag around it. Seal it up tight with tape and put it down in there and put the top on it, and that stuff will keep. And
okay.
if you get cracked corn at the co-op, you can buy a cracked corn 50 pounds for $12. It used to be $8. Cracked corn, you can freeze it in your freezer, put it in a container, and if you take a handful of that and put it in water overnight in the morning, you soak it, it comes off soft, you put it in that can of chicken noodle soup, or chicken soup, and you've got a delicious taste, and it'll keep forever. It'll keep for as long as you're going to need it. And that's just some of the, that's just one little tip right there, you know?
All right. Now, and that is a good one. And, of course, it all starts with survival on that level. And,
right.
And clearly the government's doing what it can to stop us from surviving by some of the laws they're trying to pass
That's
about
right.
food growing and everything else. So canning becomes very important. There are so many things going on right now, either proposed in Congress or just passing Congress. And clearly Obama would, if he could, grab all the guns. That's one of his favorites. Now, as far as your intel, one of the things that comes up often is his citizenship status. And, of course, the reality
yes.
of that, if he's not a natural-born citizen, and many of us think he's not, if that were to happen and he were to be removed from office, that would be martial law overnight, guaranteed. Now, what's your intel
on
this?
If something would happen to him, there's going to be anarchy.
And what have you heard anything? Because I'm sure with the people you know, there's probably people who know for sure about the citizenship issue. Have you heard anything
well,
about
what's going on with this? Well, evidently when Judge Roberts was out in Oregon or Washington speaking. A guy gave him a whole dossier.
Yeah, we had that's orally taped.
The judge is
yeah.
reviewing it, but
yeah.
But the issue is if something happens to this guy, and it very well could, it's going to be chaos, and there's going to be the people who elected him, especially some of the baser sort, would raise up and just take the place down, and that's what you got to be worried
yeah.
about, because that's going to happen. I want to tell you, there's going to be a civil war in this country. Two of my friends have seen it in a vision, and it's going to happen. But by the way, when we're talking about police forces, there have been three programs: Cops on the Street, Project Harmony, and community police, congressionally authorized and funded programs to hire cops since 1994. And they hired these people, and they hired a bunch of foreigners that they didn't tell you about. But during this, in this stimulus package, in these billions and billions of dollars, the CEO of Yahoo was being questioned, and he said, well, he asked him, he says, what are you doing with all these cops in there? That's the first witness we got.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-oh. David Gregory was interviewing Lawrence Summers on Meet the Press, who is the economic council advisor for Obama.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, what do you got cops in this stimulus bill for? What's that got to do with mortgage, you know? He said, well, we've got to keep the cops employed. Wrong. They're going to hire a few token cops with those billions of dollars. But ladies and gentlemen, they have now the stimulus cop package. They have enough money now to hire as many cops as they're going to need to run this country under martial law. And that is the fourth cop hiring program. And as best I can tell, there were 250,000 before this last go-round. I don't know how many billions they're going to have, but believe me, they've got enough money to hire all the policemen from Russia and from Kazakhstan. And I can give you examples of these guys. I can give you examples all night of these guys operating in our country. We just don't have time.
Yeah, well, we will. We'll have you back again soon, because this is information that is becoming more vital by the day. AlCuppett.com is the site. Now, the book is still available, America Sold Out, and the video, I Am versus the New World Order, correct?
Yeah, I've got those, a couple more. I've got a few of the books left.
Now, you're...
When the books run out...
That's it.
You can get them on the Internet from another fella, but they're not... I just kind of give them away.
Yeah, but for people...
But that other one aren't given away.
But for people who want to write, it's Box 111, Wolftown, Virginia, 22748, and I'll put that on my
right.
I'll put that on my website, so we will have
right.
that. And, yes, want to have you on again soon, because clearly, as I say, with the Obama administration, more people waking up every day saying something's not right.
Right.
And the part they don't understand is that it didn't just start last November. You've been tracking this at least 15 years. And Rex 84 going back now 20 years, so this is not new.
We found the first cops in 1988. Brenda Roberts in Warner Robins, Georgia, went out with some of her friends and was demonstrating at a clinic, and they should have been home praying instead of being at the clinic, but they did it in the flesh. They did it the physical way, and she said, Al, the Red Dog Strike Force came out in 1988 when George Bush Sr. was running the shadow government under Ronald Reagan, and these guys came out and jerked seven women. They jerked all 14 arms out of place on seven women. And we won't go into the whole story, but she said, Al, the bottom line was those guys and those red berets and those black masks They spoke a foreign language when they were in a corner by themselves.
And that was
they were here in 1988.
Yeah, 1988. What I want to discuss also next time, because I think you have some knowledge of it as well, is what's really going on with our currency, because this whole Federal Reserve thing obviously is a ruse. So hopefully you'll join us soon.
Right, but I know about that. They're going to go to the Amero, and I've seen the currency change twice in Vietnam and once in Korea. I've seen it changed, and you can change it in 4 hours. You can change the currency out in 4 hours.
Well, I've been wondering, do they even need the Amero anymore? Are we going to go to a global currency where everybody's got
the same
thing?
They're going to do, I think what they're going to do, I know the Amero's been printed, and I know that for sure. My friend of mine has seen them down in Atlanta when they busted open down there.
Right.
But they're going to probably go to one-to-one with the Euro, and what happens, the currencies which are weaker, the people get creamed. They get really slaughtered. Like the Italians got bit on the euro because their currency was weak. And I'm going to tell you, folks, our currency is going down the tubes. I was watching the dollar against the euro.
Oh, yeah.
About last week it was 126, and it's 129, $1.30, $1.35. Tonight it was $1.36. The dollar's dropping against the euro.
It sure is. And on that note, we will talk to you soon, Al Cuppett.
Okay.
You are a patriot. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
So,
bye-bye.
AlCuppett.com, there you have it. Now, we're going to pick up on the natural-born citizenship deal coming up now.